Luke chapter 24, we'll start with verse 13. 24:13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. Now, what's the best place to put this, have you found, preacher? It's kind of popping. High? It's high, okay. All right. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. That's verse 16. Skip down to verse 27. 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? Now my wife would remind me that I need to shut this phone off. Good reminder for all of us. I'd been in the pulpit preaching and my phone would go off. I'd be in a different time zone and my son would be thinking he's doing me a great thing, and he'd call me and I'm in the middle of preaching. I said, who left that phone on? What's wrong with you? And then I pull my phone out and fix it. So I just fix yours now. I want to preach to you on the burning heart. The burning of the heart. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name now, I pray that we've had a lot of fun. We've enjoyed ourselves. We certainly heard a wonderful message before, and I'm convicted about it, and others too. I pray, Heavenly Father, that once again you'll do that mighty work of the Holy Spirit and moving in hearts and touching lives about this passage and this verse of the burning of the heart. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be yielded to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The burning of the heart toward God. This may be the number one need in our churches today. We have principles and we have procedures. Where we have programs. We've grown up. We have all of these things. We need more passion for what we're doing. Our doctrine is straight and we're proud about that, and we should be. Our practice is improving. It's our intensity and our fervor that often lacks. Oh, we have computers and cell phones and Facebook and texting and blogs and websites and affluency. And what we really need, brethren, is more zeal and enthusiasm for the work of God again. We become so distracted with the tools of our day. And they're good tools. I'm not criticizing them. And I use them too. But we become distracted from the zeal and the enthusiasm for what we're about. We've never had more books or software or computer programs and knowledge at our fingertips. And they're all helpful. And I'm for it. I'm not against it. But we rarely had less emotion and fire than we do today in our independent, fundamental Baptist churches. Dead. Many times we're just going through the motions. I'm pleading with you tonight that we need to experience the burning of our heart again for the things of God. Brethren, we need the passion for Christ that caused Fanny Crosby to write, I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. It told thy love to me. And here's the passion. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. She wrote, oh, the pure delight. Can you hear the passion in that? The pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend when I kneel in prayer with thee, my God. I commune as friend with friend. And then the chorus, oh my, she says, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. We need the passion that was burning in Anne Hawks when she wrote, I need thee every hour. How often do we need the Lord? Every hour, Anne wrote. My most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I have on my phone an app that is, and I can pull up the OneNote, and there's my prayer list. And one of my prayer list sections is to go to songs. And I have these two songs in there. And in my devotions, I can sing and have sung many, many times these two songs with the same desire that I think they wrote them with. I believe this is why standards are slipping today. There's no burning for the things of God. We're blending into our culture. We're becoming chameleon. We are like we are in church, and we go out of the church and we're something else. I believe it's why there's less emphasis on holiness. I believe it's why there are fewer witnessing, as the preacher preached before, and fewer going into the ministry, because there's not that burning of the heart that these people experienced. I believe it's why there's less interest in Bible study than 20, 25, 30 years ago. Oh my, I would call for a Bible study in our church in the early 90s, and they said, we want more. I said, okay, we'll start a Bible Institute. We started a Bible Institute, and we had about 120, 30 in church, and we had 30, 35 in the Bible Institute. They wanted to know more Bible. I believe that we're slipping because there's not that burning for Bible study. We're lucky if we get our Bible read, much less studied. When was the last time you sat down with your tools for study and studied the Word of God? When was it? I believe that this is why there's less Bible study and interest in it. Our hearts haven't burned after the things of God for a long time. We've become nonchalant in our Christian walk. And brethren, I know that most of you are living for God. This is the Sunday night crowd, and I'm aware of that. But are you just going through the motions and the mechanics, while the delight of it all, like she wrote, the delight of it all is a vague memory? How long has it been that the passion's been missing? I want to give you 3 points tonight. There's something that God wants to teach us, I believe. First, look with me at the background of the text. The background, we've got to get this down first. This was a post-resurrection scene, and we're still in post-resurrection times. In our text, we find two men, one named Cleopas and the other one's unnamed, taking a walk toward Emmaus. In our text, it talks about a furlong. A furlong is about 600 feet. It's actually 606.75 if you're a detailed person, but and verse 13 says that Emmaus was 60 furlongs from Jerusalem. So you multiply it out, you'll end up to about 7 miles that they were walking that day. The direction was west-northwest. I want you to observe several things about these disciples with me in this background. First of all, these disciples still possess something. The passion was lacking, but I want you to see they possessed a love for the Lord, though he had died. They possessed that. They still believed in him. Remember that Christ had prayed for them, that their faith fail not, and it hadn't. They still believed in Christ. They didn't understand everything that had happened, but they believed. They still loved his memory. Oh, they remember the crowds that thronged him when he was preaching, and they rehearsed his teaching and his miracles and how he handled situations, and they cherished their memories of Christ. However, as you listen to them, something else. They lacked something as well. And what they lacked was hope. You know, hope is defined as confident assurance. And they had lost some hope. In verse 17, Christ noticed their obvious sadness. And they had lost confidence in his ability to fulfill what they thought he was going to do and what they thought he would do. And that was rescue Israel from Roman rule. In verse 21, Luke 24, 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And they're somewhat perplexed about that. Their expectations were not met, and they were discouraged. They had lost hope. They were sad. Already on that resurrection day, they were on the move to Emmaus. And so, first of all, they still possessed some things, but secondly, they had lacked something, and that was hope. Maybe that describes you. Maybe you've lost some hope. I mean, maybe you've said, what's the use? But God has answers for us when we think we've lost our hope. Let's go on. We'll see some of this. There was a cooling of their enthusiasm, number three. There was a cooling of their enthusiasm. During Christ's ministries, they had preached, and they had healed the sick. But now the fire that they used to have, while it was burning low, their gloomy countenance told the story. It expressed no vision and no victory and no future and no burden. And certainly, there are a lot of Christians in that shape tonight. Their setbacks and their disappointed expectations have shaken their hope and their trust and their fervor. And their heart is no longer burning like it was at one time in their life. At best, we would describe it as smoldering. Smoldering. I wonder, does that describe your heart condition tonight? Brother, sister, maybe teenager, young adult. Could it be that God is trying to get your attention, that your fire is burning low, and that you need the embers of your heart fanned once again? They certainly needed that, those two. And finally, in this section, he was so near to them. Did you read about that? How Jesus just came upon them and started talking to them? He was so near, but they didn't recognize his nearness. They missed it. They faced a shadowy future. They weren't sure what was going to happen, but Christ was with them. And the Bible says that their eyes were holden. The word holden means held fast or seized or focused on their situation to the exclusion of everything else. That is, they were so perplexed by their uncertain future and the events that had just transpired, that they had no clear vision to understand that Jesus Christ was walking with them that very day. He was alive, like he said. They totally missed Christ in their midst. And dear friend, though we may not recognize him, he's with us too. Yes, he is. In our days of sadness, When our life is turned upside down, he's with us. When we're defeated, he's with us. Don't miss his presence with you like they did. He's not left you. He's here tonight. He's with you tonight. From the background, we learn that he wants our heart to burn again. But secondly, I want to ask a question. We only have 3 points, so we're in pretty good shape here. All right? I have 75 subpoints to the last one, but no, just teasing. Number two, what should our heart burn for? What should our hearts burn for? We observe that their heart burned to return to the days of the past when they had walked with Christ. I mean, these were their best days. Man, they could remember everything about walking with Christ, and it was wonderful. And dear friend, there ought to be a burning in us for our best days spiritually. Our best days. Not just whatever will be. No, don't go through life like that. We shouldn't be satisfied with the status quo, business as usual spiritually. Que sera, sera, just whatever comes will come. No, don't be satisfied with your current level of growth in the Lord. Don't be satisfied with your current level of knowledge of His Word. Don't be satisfied with that. Be burning in your heart for the best and closest days to you, the Lord, that you've ever had. That's the whole idea of revival, that we get closer to God. Draw nigh unto me, He said, and I'll draw nigh to you. And that brings up a very good question tonight. What was the closest that you've ever walked with the Lord? When was that? Where was it? Was it when you first got saved? Maybe the closest, as you point back in time, was when you were at camp, maybe at school, high school, college, in the armed services. Maybe it was in a certain church, in that certain church, you were the closest. Maybe it was this church. Maybe it was when you started your first ministry in the local church, and boy, you were on fire for God, and it was exciting. Or maybe it was when you got your first study Bible, and you started studying the Word of God for real, and you really got on fire. I don't know. But when did you feel Him nearest? Brethren, there ought to be a burning in you and in me for those blessed days to return, until you and I can say, today is the closest I've been to Him, and that's what revival is all about. Secondly, there ought to be a burning in you for this church's best days. This church's best days. I mean, in the early days, some folks got together, no doubt, and wanted to obey God, start this church for the glory of God. And you're going to celebrate a big anniversary coming up, I guess. And there must have been a fervor for Bible study in those days, and souls, and a vision, and visitation going on, and so forth. But there should be a burning in this generation that the passion of those early days returns, and these become the greatest days in the history of this church. Did you know that Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4 calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of burning? The Spirit of burning. May God refresh us with our best spiritual days personally. May God stir you to return to the passion of the best days in your church's history in this church. And thirdly, there ought to be a burning in our hearts for days of revival that, like God has poured out in the past on His people. Listen, we serve the same God that they served. Yes, we do, and He's no respecter of persons. What He did for them, He'll do for us. If we would pray and seek His face, oh my, our God would hear from heaven and rain down upon us of His Spirit and revival. We need to see our sinfulness, however, as exceeding sinful. And we gloss over our sinfulness many times. We need a brokenness and a humility before a holy God. These two disciples recalled the former days a blessing with great burning in their heart for them. I wonder how it is with you. Don't you want your heart to be stirred spiritually to its highest and its hottest fervor ever? Don't you hunger for your children? Boy, this is one thing that motivates me. I want my kids, my grandkids, and eventually my great-grandkids to see the move of God like I've seen in my life. For that to happen, I need to be on fire for God. Doesn't your heart burn to experience what our forefathers did in the way of revival? It can happen. Teenagers can burn. I've seen whole churches turn around because the teenagers got on fire for God. Man, oh man, It's exciting. We know there's not much time before Christ appears. This is our day to burn. This is our day to burn for our Lord. We ought to do it. Again, what should our hearts burn for? Not only for past days of fire and fervency to return, but also their hearts burned for the word of God. Look at it in Luke 24 and verse 32. I'll water my voice a little bit, make it easier for you to listen. Or as one preacher said, irrigate it. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? He expounded to them the Bible and their heart burned hotter and hotter. Now, wait a minute. They had walked with him consistently for 3 years. They knew quite a bit of Bible. You walk with the Savior for 3 years, you're going to learn my Bible. But their heart is burning again because they're hearing the word again. The more of his word they heard, the more they burned. And our hearts need that burning again for a knowledge of his word. Study his word. Listen, you and I have not, we've got to come to this point that we have not arrived in our knowledge of the word of God. We have not. We're not doing as well as we give ourselves credit for in the knowledge of his word. Yes, we may have gone, some have gone to Bible college and some have been to Christian school and you got a lot of Bible in Sunday school or something else, but we haven't attained it all. And so we have much to learn. We need to view ourselves as pygmies in our knowledge of God and his word so that we will be motivated to bring ourselves up to speed with the word of God and let it begin to sink in and burn in our hearts. We haven't learned enough. We haven't applied enough. The Bible needs to become a magnet again, drawing us. I mean, when you come home for work, you need to have some Bible time. We have newspaper time. We have web time. What happened to Bible time? There ought to be a hunger for God's word again, to study it, not just read it so you can check it off your list. Yep, I did it again, got my goals done. It wasn't too much fun. I didn't get much out of it. My mind wasn't on it, but I got it done. Check mark. It's more than that. We have the holy word of God in our possession. Other countries don't have it, but you have it. You probably have 2, 3, 4 Bibles. What is wrong with us? We need to burn in our heart for more of God's word. You'll know when it happens because when you're burning in your heart for God's word, I mean, God will start showing you things. And it'll start coming so fast that you'll say, wow, I'm going to lose this if I don't make some notes. I got to jot some things down here. And you'll get busy keeping track of what you're learning. It will become something that you look forward to again. You'll value every truth so much, you won't want to forget it. Blessed, the Bible says, is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate once every year. That's not what it says. It says day and night. That's at least twice every day. The psalmist said, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. Can you say that? Are you in love with the book? I told young preachers, I've spoken to several groups of them, and I tell them, I said, one of the things, there's several things, but one of the things that God taught me as a young man, just reading the Bible and reading about how the psalmist loved the Bible, I learned to fall in love with the Bible. I read where he loved the Bible, and I said, Lord, I don't have that love. I'm going to confess it, Lord. I don't love your word like he's talking about there, but I want that. Would you give me a love for your word? Ooh, glory. You get serious about a love for his word. He loves that. He'll give it to you. He'll answer that prayer right now. You'll start loving it. Testimony, you'll start loving it. We need to recapture a heart that's burning. Last point. When did they burn? I want to know when they burned. You say, if I could see from the scripture when their heart burned within them, I'd do my best to meet the same qualifications. And so let's look at 24:16, when they burned. In 24:16, this is preliminary, but their eyes were holden, in verse 16, that they should not know him. Skip down to verse 31, see the contrast. Now things have turned around. He's taught them the word of God. And it says in verse 31, and their eyes were what? Opened, that they knew, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Notice the progression from having their eyes holden or veiled to having them opened and not knowing him to knowing him. Now, how did they change? There are three keys that help us to understand in this passage that changed them. Look first in verse 28 and 29 and see when they burned. It was when they invited him in. When they invited him in, things began to turn around. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Notice, they said, abide with us. We know that he approached them. Now follow the story. He approached them along the road without them asking him. He just came upon them and started walking with them. We also know that he taught them without being asked. He taught them the word of God. But he would not abide with them without invitation. And if we want him to come into our daily lives and abide with us and set our heart afire, we will have to invite him to do that. When you invite somebody to your house, the preacher invited us over to his house today, it would have been rude for him to invite us over and then he don't show up. He doesn't show up. But I think there's a lot of Christians doing exactly that. They've invited him. They've said they've invited him, but then they don't show up. And he's there to meet with us. But he would not abide with them. Have you invited his abiding presence in your life? Something else here, and I don't know if you noticed this in the passage, but it's a nugget. Where Jesus Christ is invited in as a guest, he becomes the host. Did you see that? Look at verse 30. They've invited him in now in 28 and 29, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, who was it that took the bread and blessed it? And break it, and gave to them. You'd think it would be the host, and it was. Our Lord became the host as he was invited in. First, he must be invited in to abide with you. But then he wants to govern. He wants to govern your life. And notice that when he does, in governing, what he does in governing our lives, he orders our life and blesses it, and gives to us. I wonder, have you invited him into your daily life? I know you've invited him into your heart to save your soul. Have you invited him in? Have you made room for him? Do you show up to meet him? He created us to have fellowship with him. When is that fellowship in your life? When does that take place? You need to invite him in. I know you're busy, but you got to take time for your Lord. And then, secondly, when was it that they burned? It was when they heard Jesus speak. When they heard him speak, oh my, I mean the fire started raging again. In verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? A couple things I want you to notice here by way of meditation. Notice their heart did not burn while they talked to him. That isn't what it said. Their heart did not burn while they talked about him. That wasn't the burning time. The burning time was their hearts burned while he talked with them and they listened. That is, we're going to be the kind of Christian that we ought to be. Indeed, if we're going to be the kind of soul winner that we ought to be. Indeed, if we're going to be the growing in the things of God and on fire for God, we need to be listening. We need to be in contact with the Word of God to let it speak to us with the Holy Spirit, as Dr. Bottrell said, so that we can hear it and to do what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. Their hearts did not burn while they were whining. No, that wasn't it. It was not while they were complaining or questioning or crying or arguing or feeling sorry for themselves. Rather, it was when they had ceased their talk and they were silent and listening, then the fire burned. And that's our problem. I mean, here's a question. How long has it been since you were quiet enough, long enough, to let the Holy Spirit and the Lord speak to your heart? I mean, today, we sing and we talk about waiting upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know the songs. Wait. We sing a lot about waiting on the Lord. But in practice, we're practicing just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. It's no wonder that we're so anemic. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Oh, God wants to do something in us. It's no wonder we're so weak. When Isaiah tells us the ones who will have strength renewed, who is it? Well, it's those that wait. It says in Isaiah 40, 31, that, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who? Those who wait on the Lord. When do you wait on the Lord? When is that? We Baptists are far too conscious of time about our services. We're too much in a hurry to really allow God to do any lasting work in our hearts sometimes. I've been in services that went till 9, 10, 11 o'clock. I don't mean that all of them have to be like that, but when the Holy Spirit moves, we ought to be willing to just wait before him and let him move us, deal with us and burn in our hearts again. Let those who are in a hurry or who have to leave, let them leave. Sometimes the work of the heart takes time. Sometimes it takes being quiet before him. It takes us to do business with God. However long it takes, we ought to be willing to do it. This generation loves its noise. One writer said, we have noisy souls. To them, this generation, quietness is abhorred as boring. Oh, man, it's so boring. It's so quiet. They have to have noise, whether it's a radio or a TV or a CD or a cell phone or a computer, something running all the time. But in the Bible, God spoke to Elijah in a still what? Small voice. People today wouldn't hear if that's how he spoke. God is still trying to speak to his people today. Too often, we have simply not listened. We've not put ourselves in the position to listen. We haven't been quiet enough. We're talking too much to listen, too busy to listen. We haven't been still long enough to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. Our ears are too full of the noise of our culture. And neither has our heart burned toward the Lord either. Could I ask you, do you really want the fire in your heart? Because it will change you. It will, you'll have it when you invite him in to abide. You'll have it when you're quiet enough to hear him speak. And finally, our heart will burn when he opens to us the scriptures. I want to go through this point one last time, very briefly. In verse 32, and while he opened to us the scriptures. What new truth did he tell them? Nothing. Just the old truth. But the old message came at just the time that they needed it, and their heart burned. For example, we find the same thing happening in Jeremiah chapter 20. Our last verse tonight will be in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. We've stayed pretty much in Luke chapter 24 the whole service, but our last verse is Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah had become disheartened. He was about to quit, just like these two disciples. But God used the word to make Jeremiah's heart burn again. It says in 20 and verse 9 of Jeremiah, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a what? Here it is again. A burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. Jeremiah had known what it was like to burn. However, he had cooled off. Maybe you've cooled off like Jeremiah. Or maybe not so much. Maybe you just are not burning bright like you could. He's still going through the motions, Jeremiah. But no fire, no passion, no closeness, no vision. But God opened the scriptures to Jeremiah again and made it like a live coal. And it was inside him and he burned to do the will of God. The burning kept these disciples going. The burning of the heart kept Jeremiah going. And saints, this is what we need to keep going. The burning of the heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed now. I want to ask you this evening, do you know that you're saved? We have a vast crowd tonight, but it could be that somebody's here that does not know that they are saved. And if you died tonight, are you certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would wake up in heaven? Or do you just hope it works out that way? Or you think it might work out that way, or you wish that it would work out that way. God wants you to know. And he said in 1 John 5:13 that you can know for sure. If you would like to know for sure that you're saved and you've been doubting, before I talk to the Christians about what I preached, I want you to have an opportunity to receive Christ. Is there somebody like that and you want to be born again tonight before you leave this building? Could I see your hand? I'm looking all over the building. Is there somebody like that? Man, woman, boy, or girl? Someone? All right. Christian, as you inspect your heart, do you find it cooling? Maybe only slightly warm. But you couldn't honestly say that your heart is burning with the thrill and the passion of walking with Jesus. Maybe you've evidenced this in your heart by the hit and miss way that you read your Bible. Maybe reading it without concentration, without interest. Maybe your prayers are sounding more repetitive and empty, and your prayer time has become a chore to you. Maybe you notice it in your ministry where you're still going through the motions. You're still teaching your class, working with the youth, singing in the choir, or you're working on the bus, but the burden and the passion and the urgency of it all is missing. Maybe it's in your cold heart toward lost souls. Could it be your thought life, your speech has been slipping lately and you're allowing it and you're not doing anything about it? If you're convicted about one of these things and you want your flame to burn bright again, I wonder, would you be so honest and so sincere as to slip your hand up and witness that God is working in your heart about this thing? Thank you so much. More than a dozen. Put your hands down. Are there others? Others? I mean, I want to be on fire for God, and there's a hindrance, and I've identified it tonight. I see it. I want to burn in my heart for the things of God again. I want my best days spiritually to be now, not looking back, but looking forward. Could I see your hand? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. We can and we should have our best days ahead. Maybe God spoke to you about what Dr. Bottrell spoke on tonight and preached, to get back to soul winning, and you need to come tonight for that. Tonight we will pray, and then it's time to experience that rising temperature in our heart again tonight. Shall we pray? Dear kind Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for helping me to say what I needed to say tonight, you wanted me to say, for these dear people. Lord, this is a good church, and yet, Lord, you want it to be burning. You want them to have what these disciples experienced. As they reviewed it, they said, did not our heart burn within us? Oh my, let that happen in somebody's life tonight that you have spoken to. Help them to be obedient tonight. If you've spoken to them about soul winning, help them to be obedient and come forward, oh God, and do some business with you. Make some commitments before you. Oh God, stir right now. We submit ourselves to you. These who've raised their hands are sincere, and they want to see it happen in their lives. Help them to follow through right now and see it. Lord, may we hear the reports in weeks to come of how it wasn't just a come to the altar to shake off conviction. It was a come to the altar for a change and a burning. Let it happen tonight, we pray, dear God, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet, but eyes closed. She begins to play on the piano. The altar is open. It's time to do business with God now. Oh my. We're going to obey God. Whether it's about soul winning, about the burning, we're going to obey God. God bless you. That's right. That's wonderful. Willingness to submit to the preached word of God. Amen.